salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I try to have something fresh for you guys every day. Oh, my goodness. I was pondering this morning as I getting up, doing a little bit of show prep, research, call it whatever you want to do that I do in the morning, and realize, golly, somebody do math for me real quick. We've done 4 years at 365 days. Somebody do some math on that real quick. 4 years at 365 days.
1440.
And Vinny, what day of the year is this? Now we gotta get weekends out of there too. So that's hard. So let's say we did 4 years of 5 times 52. What's 5 times 52? Somebody do that for me real quick. 5 times 52.
2510.
That's 2510. Is that right? 52 weeks, 5 times a week. As 2510, is that said, Vinny? Times five, is that right? Would that be, we've done it four years. That'd be 1,000, Vinny, is that right? We've done 1,000 shows? And that doesn't even factor in, man. Anyway, I've been here a lot. And I sure try to keep it fresh. And I sure do appreciate those of out there who join us every day. And as you know, many of it started out with our program, thought I was crazy, thought Larry was crazy, thought everybody in here was crazy. And as I like to jokingly say, I am a bit nuts, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. So I get up here every day, and I thank all of you for being out there because it motivates me. You keep me on my toes. See, I come up with these ideas or these thoughts, or whether they're promptings from the Holy Spirit, whatever. But look, I ain't no more holy than anybody else, okay? I'm just telling you, ain't nothing special about me. And why the Lord has gifted me with this, I don't know. But we know this. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. He gave it to me, this gift, whatever this gift is, for the body. The gift is for the body. This is the when we come in here every morning, I hope you aren't saying, I got to tune in and see what Coach has to say today, because I ain't nothing special. My wife doesn't even care what I say. She doesn't care. My kids don't care. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, and I'm just humbled every time I come in here, and I'm humbled. I just got to tell you, with the revelation I get sometimes, because you would think that a guy like me, I don't know, a guy like me, that's not even a good term. You'd think I'd sit around with my nose in the Bible all the time, wouldn't you? Sit around all day and studying and comparing, got my Strong's Concordance out, and I got my Matthew Henry commentary. I don't do that. I don't. I just read things and say, Lord, what's that mean? Show me what that means. And then he drops something into me, and I begin to ruminate and think and research and study. And this is that. Well, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Mike, see if you can find that real quickly. This is that. Hey, folks. This is that. This is that. Say, Coach, what are you talking about? This is that. This is the time that Bible spoken about. Where is that? Now, I'll look for it real quick, Mike, while you're looking. Maybe you already found it. But Paul said, this is that. And that meant, hey, boys, this is it. This is that. That y'all been waiting for? This is that. Where is that scripture? There you go. Where is that, man? Where is that?
Acts 2:16.
Pull that up there real quick, Mike, if you
Coach,
will.
You messed me up, man. I thought for sure Jesus walked around with the Torah under his arm. Man, you just messed me up with all that.
Sorry. Boy, I'm still coughing up. My lungs, when I fell and cracked my ribs or whatever, it's actually better. I can breathe deeper now and cough. And I listened to a little bit of yesterday's show. I'm hacking all the time. I'm sorry. Listen, I may sound bad, but I'm, but I'm not. Okay. Oh, I hate this. I hate this because this is going to open up another can of worms I don't want to go into. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These guys aren't drunk. These guys aren't drunk. Seeing it's but the third hour of the day, it's only 9 in the morning. But this is that. That's some of the most profound words in all the scripture right there. You can apply that to a lot of things. This is that. This is that. We're in the midst of it, man. And I, you know, I don't know. I don't, that's my wife and I, we had a little pillow talk last night. We don't usually do that. She usually falls asleep doing whatever she does. And I fall asleep doing whatever I do. And we don't always fall asleep at the same time. I'm not trying to give you bedroom stories here, but. I said, you know what, honey? I want you all to think about this a second, because this is that. I said to her, you know, I look back over my life and I take away the first 17, 18 years of my life that I lived in my parents' home. Basically, my life was dictated by my parents, not in a bad way. But you know what I'm talking about. You were dependent on it. You came home, you slept in the house, you used their car. You know what I'm talking about. But when I was a man, became a man at 18 years old, and I went away to college, everything changed. And I began to run through our memory bank last night with Michelle. I said, you know what, honey? Do you remember this period of time? Remember when we were in London? Do you remember when we were at Heath? And I started to run through these periods of time and started to mention old friends. I said, where are those old friends that we had when we were Heath? Where are those old friends at London? Where? And I came to the realization that for most of us, I want you to think about this. I think I've lived about 10 5-year periods of my life. Five's not significant, but the point is this. I've had like 10 different lives during my nearly 68 years. I don't count the first 18 at home. But since then, I look and I went through this for 5 years and had this group of friends and this happened in my life. And then I went through this and I had this group of friends and I went through that. And I think if you guys look back over your shoulder, you'll say, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. There is a lot of truth. The friends that I had in 1984, I don't even know what happened to some of them. They were so tight and so close. My wife always says, excuse me, I hate to call, I'm sorry to do that. My wife always says to me, honey, don't be mad, Michelle. We don't have any friends. My wife's always saying that to me. And I said, wait, what are you talking about? I said, we got all kinds of friends. She says, no, you don't understand what I mean. We don't have anybody that I can pick up the phone and call and go over and have a cup of coffee with. We don't have any friends like that. I said, oh, my goodness. We got Glenn Claremont and the Estes boy. And we got, are you kidding me? She said, no, I'm not talking about that. She said, I'm just talking about we've become peculiar people. We're peculiar. People around us don't want to be around us. So I began to replay in my head all the people that used to be my friends that aren't my friends, but there are some who are still my friends. And, you know, I came to the conclusion of crazy. This is crazy. This is so true. The people that I used to be friends with, that I'm still friends with, are born again. I'll say that again. My Christian friends that I were friends with 40 years ago are still my friends because they're my brothers in the Lord. There is a bond there. I feel close to Joe Allen. I feel close to Mark Trump. I feel close to Jeff Klein. I feel close to Jeff Nell. I feel close to Chad. I feel close to Gary. Why? Because these are my brothers in the Lord. There's a deep spiritual connection that you don't have just with some guy you play golf with or some lady you go to church with and you darn socks with. Something Amen. Deeper. There's a deeper, deeper connection. And that's what I think it is, has to do with being in the family of God. So as I double back around, I ask myself this. Maybe my point here this morning is, boy, what phase of life are you in right now? What are you clinging to? Wow. What I would do if I could go back and do it all over again, I'm not melancholy this morning. I'm just thinking, because this is that, boys. This is that. 68 years old. Yeah, this is that. This is what being 68's like. Not retired. Yep, this is that. This is what being a deeply committed, all-in Christian. Yep, this is that. See, we have so much stuff that we already possess, we don't even realize it. This is that. We'll say, well, that's that. That's all there is to that. Yeah, but this is that. Yeah, this is that. This is that. And how do you take that and give it to somebody else? How do you take this and give them so it becomes that? So they understand. That's the challenge. It's a real challenge of Christianity. I'm going to Texas tomorrow after the show. I'm going to go down to Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Chad's got a great thing going on down there. Let's tell him, Chad, we have to I missed the annual one. But, Chad, we need to have a big one. We need to have a big Texas area regional event down in Texas. We need to have one of those. Because I think there are probably hundreds of people who are casually connected to the Texas Salt and Light Brigade. And I'd love to get all those people together at some time. You agree with that, Chad? Want to do that? Chad's probably sleeping in this morning. Got a big weekend ahead of him. This is that. Hey, Mike, I just sent you an email, platitudes. Just check that out. I'm sick of them, by the way. What's that? Hang on. I was listening to the show yesterday. I kept hearing that's my text message when somebody does that to me. Let me see who this is from. Because it's probably germane to the show.
Dave, yes, I agree with that.
Coach, Psalm 141, 8 through 10 on the New King James Version. That's almost a real Bible. But my eyes are in upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me. You betcha. From the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. Amen. Al and Carmen. Thanks, Carmen. Al, God bless you. They're not even listening to the show, I don't think. Maybe they are. Where am I? Platitudes. I'm tired of them. By the way, Mike, I went and looked this up at Webster's, which is where I love to go, and this word was not even in Webster's. The word platitude was not even in Webster's. And that's where we are in America, especially American Christianity. And a platitude is a flat, dull, or trite remark, especially one uttered as if it were fresh or profound. So a platitude would, well, Jesus loves you, brother. That would be a platitude, right? God's in control of everything. That would be a platitude. It's a trite, dull, it's a remark without any substance to it that sounds like it's profound. It's virtue signaling. A platitude is the quality or state of being flat, dull, or trite. So I realized something this morning. I get myself in trouble because I don't do that. I don't throw out those flat, dull, trite remarks. I try not to. Lord said, we will give account for every idle word we ever spoke. And I take it. Boy, I'm rambling this morning. Is it okay? Rambling. Before I get diving in here too deep and going to where I want to go, anybody got anything particularly bugging them or something they'd like to get off your chest? By the way, Craig, yesterday, that stuff makes my head spin, man. I got to tell you something. And we get into CERN and we get into what's going on now with the earthquakes. And that stuff makes my head spin. You start talking about 11, 11, 11 and 12, 12, 12 and 3, 3, 4. It just makes my head spin. Now, why? Not my gift. Maybe not my gift. I appreciate it. I got a lot of emails, Craig, from people, not a lot. I got several emails from people who just scratching their heads and man, that's most unbelievable stuff. So I'm circling back around because listen, here the old saying, I've used this before when I used to coach football, Fairfield Christian Academy. I've told you guys this before. I used to get really, really frustrated when the teachers would say to the boys or the principal or the athletic director, somebody say, now boys, remember, act like Christians. Act like Christians. And folks, I think that's what's platitudes. That's what's happened to us. We act like Christians. It's not like my buddy Eric Peterson. He always wanted to say, I always want to be a vitamin. I said, what? Yeah. He said, be one. So I always wanted to be a vitamin. I want to be one. I want to be a Christian vitamin, a vitamin B1. You don't do it by platitudes. God's in control, brother. The Lord will supply all of your needs, brother. Those are platitudes. Those are very shallow remarks that we say to others that we think sounds profound. And really all it is a way to be able to brush our brothers and sisters off. That's all it is.
You know where platitudes come from, Coach?
Where?
From milked down gospel messages.
Well, truth, milked down truth, I would say, Larry. Isn't that really? Except for Donald J. Trump, don't a lot of our politicians just speak in platitudes? And aren't we in the mess that we're in because they're speaking in a flat, dull, or trite remark? Hey, Mike, pull up the very first thing. Tucker Carlson. It's only about a minute and 10 seconds. I'm not going to let this go. I refuse to let it go. The mask issue, right? Did you guys know that yesterday the Centers for Disease Control came out and said that masks do not protect you? Now, listen, the same CDC that's been telling you to wear masks now tells you that it doesn't protect you. Play this minute 12 clip from Tucker, Mike. Can't hear it.
From the CDC about our segment last night on face masks. A spokesman for the CDC said that our coverage was misleading. Now, the spokesman didn't dispute that we had showed accurate data from the CDC, including that 85% of people who tested positive for coronavirus in July reported wearing a mask always or often. Instead, the spokesman said this, quote, "At no time has CDC guidance suggested that masks were intended to protect the wearers." Huh? At no time has the CDC suggested that masks were intended to protect people who wear masks. That's what they said tonight. Now, that would be news to the director of the CDC, Robert Redfield. Here he was last month.
I might even go so far as to say that this face mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take a COVID vaccine.
This is the CDC? They're protecting us from this pandemic? They don't even know what their own director is saying. But whatever you do, don't question public health experts. Facebook and Twitter and Google will shut you down. Just put your mask on and obey. Up next.
Wow, huh? Okay, so I'm going somewhere from a Christian perspective because Roger always likes the Bible thrown in there. So I'm going to go there. But I want you to, Mike, go to the next thing because to me, Bible teaches us this, that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge. Hey, Mike, go to Webster's real quick. I'm sorry. We can come back to that. Webster's. What is knowledge, Mike? Knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge is a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and fact, the perception of the connection and agreement or disagreement and repugnancy of our ideas. Learning, illumination of the mind. Ignorance is the curse. Wow. Ignorance is the curse of God. Knowledge is the wing where we fly to heaven. Cognizance, notice. And look at the quote, Ruth 2:10. What is Ruth 2:10, Mike? Carnal knowledge. That's sexual intercourse, carnal knowledge. 2:10, Ruth 2:10, what's it say? Ruth, that's Acts, Ruth. I'm just learning this with y'all, folks. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" So when the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, why are we destroyed? Because we don't have a grasp of the truth. We're not taught the truth. We don't listen to the truth. We don't obey the truth. We don't know what the truth is. It's been really kind of one of the central themes of what we do here at Coach Dave Live as we dissect truths and untruths. Try to. And I was astounded to find today. We all know what's going on with. I don't know if I want to make this prediction or not. Joe Biden's toast. He's toast. But here's the thing that's even more discouraging. Why we have no redress of grievances, and why nothing's happening, and why everything, all the wheels seem to be spinning, and why the facts and the knowledge of the facts are plainly obvious to all of us and nothing's happening. Here's why. The FBI had Hunter Biden's computer in December of 2019. The FBI, folks, stuff's coming out now. The FBI's had it since December, a year ago. They ignored the crimes, they did nothing, and they gave the Biden family a complete pass. You say, Coach, what's this have to do with Christianity? Everything. Everything. Why? Because, see, listen, folks, Christians aren't destroyed because they don't have biblical knowledge. Christians are destroyed because they don't have knowledge in general. Now, people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The Bible says you shall know the truth. Know the truth. Have knowledge of the truth. Why is the knowledge of the truth being kept from us? And it's not just happening in the media and in the government. It's in every aspect that we look. The knowledge of the truth. What Jesus stood and he looked Pilate in the eye. Imagine this. He went to Pilate. Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to set you free? Crucify you." Jesus said, "You ain't got power over me, dude. That's been given to you from on high." He said, "For this purpose I came to bear that I might bear witness to the truth." And what Pilate say? What's the truth?
Well, Coach?
That's pertinent today, isn't it? Yeah, Dale.
I tell you, here's a line for you. I'm looking at that title and it should read, The church had the truth since the first century. It ignored the sin, did nothing, and gave the sinner a complete pass.
Brother, it's filters everywhere, doesn't it? It's one lie built upon precept upon precept. You know why I love this show? Because this show makes you think. That's what I love more than anything about it. Of how in a group, a multitude of counselors, as we're sitting in here, every one of you guys, I look down there, Chris and Clay and Craig and Dale and Daryl and Chad, and every one of you have a perspective on what we've spoken about already. Every one of you have, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, every one of you, that Spirit has already spoken to you something. A communication. The connection that you have to the Holy Spirit is either bearing witness to the truth or bearing witness to a falsehood. Isn't that fascinating? And that's just through the somebody bringing up a topic and a subject, a truth comes up inside of you. Because why? The Bible says you'll know the truth. You know the truth. And truth, if you know, it's going to set you free. Somebody was trying to get in. I didn't let you come on in. Come on in. But people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. No?
Coach, that Ray, he's a traitor. They need to hang him upside down like a bat tooth.
Who's that?
That Ray over the FBI, he's a traitor.
Yep, well, they all are. They all are, aren't they? We're seeing that now. They had the information since 2019, right? That's why I think, I promised my wife I wouldn't be doom and gloom this morning. But that's why I think something really, really cataclysmic is going to happen in the next 21 days. I believe that they cannot allow this election to take place. That's what I think. And I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse as this stuff begins to reveal, as the peel of the... Folks, this is going back to 911. Sorry. This is going, once they open that, oh boy. Once they open that gate, better step back. Once they open that door, better step back, because there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to come out. And I believe it's going to shake America to the very core. That's what I think is going to go on.
Hey, Coach, you get what you deserve, right?
We know this, Vinny, that eventually it's going to be the truth that's going to set us free. We'll never, as long as we continue. You think we're going to be able to maintain a country based on lies? Do you really think that? We're kind of at the end of that anyway, right? Our money's fake, right? Hey, come on, you know that, right? Our money's fake. Our government's fake. Our security is fake. Everything that you're telling us is fake. Our education is fake. Why? The devil's come in and he's seized everything. He's seized every bit of it. I wrote a commentary today. I didn't even bring it up because my wife said it wasn't real good, so I posted it anyway. And it goes back to... We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Wise as a serpent. That's what I taught it. Wise as a serpent. Wise as a serpent. Now the serpent's taken over everything. And how's the serpent taken over everything? Through falsehood, through lies. Because we don't know the truth. the truth. Do you guys, can anybody tell me right now? Just let's go. Let me put it on hold here a second. Can somebody name a denomination for? I know you can't. So let's take a minute and let's see if we can come up with 10 different denominations. Just go. Somebody give me one.
Catholicism.
Baptist.
Good.
United Methodist.
Another one.
Episcopalian.
Another one.
Seventh-day Adventist. USA.
Another one. Larry, you only one, Larry.
Church of Christ.
Another one.
Protestant.
Okay. Another one.
Latter-day Saints.
Another one.
Lutheran.
Presbyterian. Southern Baptist. First Baptist. Baptist. Their cousin, Baptist from the third brother. Right? Denominations are everywhere. So that really, what we have done through Christianity is we have, folks, watered down truth. Now, they would call me, if you read Right Wing Watch, a fundamental Christian. Well, that's a compliment, folks. we take it as a slur, but it's not a fundamentalist, right? And so I was doing some Googling this morning as I'm trying to put the show together, and I asked myself this, is Roger in here? Maybe let's wake Roger up. He's probably laying in there taking a nap today. Whoever wants to answer this, can somebody tell me, the essentials of the Christian faith? No, don't Google it. Don't anybody Google it. Don't Google it. I want you.
Do I get to take a crack at it?
Well, stop it, Larry. Stop it. The essentials of the Christian faith, or better yet, what separates a Presbyterian from a Lutheran, and a Lutheran from a Baptist, and a Baptist from a Methodist, and a Methodist from a Church of God, and Church of God from a Church of God in Christ, and a Church of God in Christ from a, you get the trick, right? And it all is non-essential doctrinal beliefs. All of it is based on, well, we don't believe that, so I'm going to start a church. Somebody say amen. We don't believe that, I'm starting my own church. Amen? And most of them being built on what? Non-essential doctrines. Now, I'm going to ask again. I'll pull it up here for you because I want to make life easy for everybody today. What are the essential doctrines of the Christian faith? Throw it up there on the screen, Mike. It's calm there at the bottom.
Coach, I'm going to separate this, Coach. It's when they start letting sin in the church.
Well, see, Trent, I think we have sin in the church because we don't understand the essential doctrines. Thank you, Lord. Christianity is nothing but platitudes. Christianity, you talk to the average Christian, they just answer you with nameless, mindless bilge they've heard. Platitudes.
Coach, if I may, they call you fundamental Christian. Uh-huh. What's mostly happening in church is this, fun and mental Christian.
When I was a kid, we used to call people that were stupid mental. Do anybody remember that? He's mental. We didn't even know what it meant. Oh, that guy's mental.
Well, see,
go ahead, Chad. That's all right. Hang on. I'll get y'all in here. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just saying that they said they had to put some kind of label on it. Say, like over in the Middle East when they were doing ISIS was rolling through there, it was Coptic Christians over there. Coptic Christians. So they're not just Christian. They have to be some other kind of American, whatever it is, you know, at that way they could put it in a group over there. Sorry.
Yeah, no, good. Don't say sorry. Good, good. Somebody else was trying to got walked on. Was it Trent? Whoever it was, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, talking about platitudes, you know, the worst time, and Christians, I think, are the most notorious for this is when somebody is going through a really tough time or they're grieving. When I call it pop theology.
I'll pray for you, brother, right?
Yeah.
That's a platitude. I wonder how many times you say to people, I'll pray for you and don't. I got your back, brother. Really? That's a platitude. You don't really mean it. Never. Because can I tell you something? Let me brag on a guy, Coach Norm Emmett. You guys know Coach Norm. We went, my wife and I, about 20 years ago, went through one of the darkest moments of our whole life. And I remember picking up the phone and calling Norm and telling him. Norm lives about 45 minutes away from me. And I picked him up and I told him what was going on. And he said, okay, thanks, coach. And he hung up. And I said to my wife, man, that's weird. That sure wasn't like Norm. And 45 minutes later, he's standing at my door. He hung up the phone. He got in his car. He didn't tell me he was going to pray for me. I'll be lifting you up, brother. He said, okay, thanks, coach. He hung up the phone. He went out, got in his car, and he drove 45 minutes, came to my door, and sat down on my couch with me. Those weren't
pilots. Hey, coach.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this group of people here that are listening to you now, when I had my situation with my house and everything, a lot of them may have prayed for me, but a whole lot of them actually did something, and they rescued me.
Mm-hmm. So platitudes don't rescue, do they, Larry? Platitudes don't rescue, man. It's just it's the way it is. So I wanted to show. Listen, I don't want to get bogged down on this, but this stuff is important. Okay. So I went to CARM, which I really, really, I met Matt. I forget his last name. Matt. It'll come to me. I met Matt when I was out in Boise, Idaho. By the way, CARM, and he does great, great stuff on basic Christian doctrine. Really does. And so when I have a question, a lot of times one of the first places I go to is CARM because he has good, it's a Christian apologetics and research ministry. And so here he put down basic Christian doctrines. Listen now, these aren't essentials though. See, this is not essential. What is the difference between a basic Christian doctrine and the essential? So basic doctrines, most churches agree with this, right? There's only one God. God's a Trinity. There are no gods before or after God. God knows all things. God's all powerful. God. Those are basic Christian doctrines. But what are essential Christian doctrines? In other words, if you don't believe these things, you cannot be a Christian. What are some essential Christian doctrines?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, the apostles' doctrine is the best way to go, man, the safest way to go. The prophets, the disciples, and Christ being the chief cornerstone right there, lazy, right there. That's the best foundation they are.
Where would I find that?
Well, you find the elementary principles listed for you in the Bible. The elementary principles of Christ. Sounds like basic doctrine to me.
Yeah, it does to me. Let's see. Mike, I got something I'm trying to find here. Hang on there. Let's. I think this is the site. Okay, good. Hey, Mike, click on that. Click on the last one there. Hey, guys, I'm trying to help us learn something here today, okay? Because if I were to ask you right now the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, most of us couldn't write them down. We couldn't write them down. So this beggar's bread has up on your screen for you essential and non-essential doctrines. Non-essential be like churches, right? The churches that didn't stay open. By the way, I did this. My wife and I did a little Google search yesterday, Roger. Those of you who are in the Columbus, Ohio area. I went to all the mega churches in the Columbus, Ohio area. Hey, Roger, there aren't any of them open. None of them are open. Still not open. They're still doing it online. Unbelievable, right? Mega churches. So essential. Scroll down, Mike. Let's go down to some essential. Here they are. Essential Christian doctrine. Here they are. The essential doctrines of the Christian faith are the deity of Christ, salvation by grace, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and monotheism. Now, we wouldn't even know what those mean, really, right? But if you don't believe those five things, you ain't Christian, okay? Then we have a lot of non-essentials that are down underneath them. And here's a sampling of them. The eschatology. These are non-essential. It doesn't matter. This is why we have different denominations. How and when the end times will unfold, the rapture, the millennium, the role of Israel today. That's eschatological and non-essential. How old is the earth? Non-essential. Doesn't matter. Ecclesiology, church government models, the role of the clergy, laity, apostles, prophets. Non-essential. Doesn't matter. Soteriology, Arminism, Calvinism. Doesn't matter. Non-essential. Demonology. Can a Christian have a demon or not? Non-essential, doesn't matter. Those are doctrinal beliefs, people. Sacramental practices, wine or grape juice, leaven. Pull it up a little bit, Mike. I feel like I'm peeking under my, looking on my, there, but thanks. There, thanks. Sacraments, demonology, sacramental practice, wine, leavened bread, unleavened, who can administer it? Modes of baptism, sprinkling, full of, these are non-essentials. Yeah, we build denominations off of these. Worship styles, liturgical, contemporary, hymns, choruses, choirs. I always love it when I go drive by the Lutheran church says, what do they say? Traditional service at 9. What's the other word they use? Some other, right? Worship observances, Sabbatarians versus Sunday worship observances, special non-essentials, food and drink. Can you drink alcohol? Do you have to abstain from things? Are you allowed to play cards and dance and makeup and acceptable dress? And non-essentials, all non-essentials, et cetera, et cetera. This is far from an exhaustive or comprehensive list of Christian non-essentials, but it seems endless at times. And here's what happens to us. Because we don't understand this, we are constantly arguing with one another over non-essentials. Hey, folks, can I drink a beer? Hey, it's a non-essential. It doesn't matter. I do not lose my salvation over drinking a beer.
Amen.
All right?
Dave?
Yes.
Okay, one of the things I'm thinking here is, I thought, to my knowledge, the Catholic Church that doesn't have any where it's all divided, it's like Protestants do. Is that correct? Would you agree with that?
You mean the Catholic Church, they all believe the same thing?
Okay, so,
they're supposed to.
The one that's practiced.
Now, the Pope doesn't agree with them. But, yeah, go ahead. So, the Protestants have what?
What I'm saying is the Protestants are fractured. It's fractured because Jeff and Paul got there and they got arguing and they said, you know what, I'm going to get my own way.
I'm starting my own church.
And that's these things we're talking about right here. They just say, well, I think we, you know, the guy used leavened bread. And the other guy said, well, I don't think we're going to use that leavened bread. We're going to use unleavened bread. And, you know, we forgot Lutherans in that thing too and make sure we have a red door. So all these things thrown in here are, again, divisive for what?
Well, they're divisive. Yeah, they're divisive.
That's it.
So listen, let's just start with this one right here. Wherever you go to church or used to go to church, how often do you take communion? People say, well, it's got to be every time we come together. Well, what about that other church? They only do it every month. Well, what about that other church? They only do it on religious holidays. What are you talking about? Right? See, it's a non-essential. Non-essential. They say to me, Coach, if you come in here and preach, you can't wear a hat. You can't wear a hat here. What? Yeah, well, it doesn't honor the Lord, can't wear a hat. Where do you find it? Well, I found it right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 92, verse 17. Don't cover your head. Oh, my wife. Look at this. Bringing me honey. And I actually feel good, okay? I don't sound good. Are you guys picking up what I'm laying down here today? Let me swallow some of this. Thanks, honey.
That's why I wear a visor, Coach. I'll jump in while you're eating your honey. You know what I'm saying? It's sweet in your mouth, but, brother, it'll become bitter gall because that's what the word does, brother. Woo-hoo!
Right, right. So are you with me? What's that, honey? Ken and Stephanie in Wilmington. Thanks for the honey. Thank you, honey. Honey. Thanks for the honey, honey. 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 So you see the division and what's happened. See, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because people who go to denominations who do those non-essentials think they're essential. And because they think they are essential, then we find that they are majoring on the minors. They focus all their attention on how you dress, what you say, how you look. Wait, are you with me? Are y'all with me? And because of that, we're teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God an effect. That is happening right now today in the American Christian Church.
Yeah, when you major on the minors, you're neglecting the majors.
Well,
that's pretty good, Larry. I was just going to use music as that very theory. Do you know that it is the minor chords that placate on a person's emotions in worship, yet the major chords are warfare and spiritual? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. It is. So Mike, was that what I had something else I wanted to show you, man? Slide on down a little bit on this, Mike. I think it was on this one.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack. Mike, this is not the one. I'll find which one I'm looking for. Go ahead, Jack.
As you slide into more and more of those man-made distinctives, you become closer and closer to the cult ideas.
Right. I would hope this. I would hope that if you're watching this show and if you watched it for any length of time, I hope you don't really know what non-essential doctrines I believe. I try to hide it. I have my own beliefs. I have the things that I believe. But the thing that I love about this show, and I hope you love about this show as well, is I don't care what your non-essential belief is. I don't care. I couldn't care less. But I'm not going to let it separate me. I'm not going to let it separate us. And unfortunately, we do, don't we? And why do we do that? Because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't understand. We don't understand. And so I wrote my commentary today on as wise as a serpent. And I ask the question, why would God do that? Why would God, Almighty God, Jesus himself, say, be wise as a serpent? Have you guys ever pondered the depth of that?
I can answer that, Coach.
Go ahead, Craig.
Because you got to think like Satan thinks. Because you can't be deceived by the wiles of the devil.
Uh-huh.
You have to study. He has a strategy. And that's an overall thing. That's a Big Ten thing. And he has tactics. And you have to differentiate between the two so that you know what you're being hit with. And if you're on a destroyer and you hear a big, loud explosion in the night and you start taking your anti-aircraft guns and start shooting them in the air and you're getting a torpedo from a submarine and you're not using your depth charges, you're shooting in the air at the wrong thing. You need to know where you're being attacked from.
Exactly. Or, listen, don't ever forget this. Some of my best plays I stole from the enemy. I've used that line before. When I was coaching football, and the other guy, the other coach, the other team did something against us that was unbelievably effective, I stole it. I stole it and used it. So when Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, see, we like to focus on the harmless as a dove thingy that goes along with it. Christians are to be harmless as doves, right? No, we're supposed to be wise as serpents. And we see a technique that the devil uses. Maybe we ought to think about it. So how did the devil move? Can somebody tell me, how did the devil get so powerful when he was defeated at the cross?
Come on, Coach. You just answered the question right there. It says, wise as a serpent. What did the serpent use in the garden? Deceptive platitude of words.
And infiltration, right?
Amen, Coach.
Deception, right? Right? Now, if those techniques work for the devil, number one, we ought to be aware of what his devices are. But is there any way that some of those devices can be manipulated for good? Could Christians infiltrate the government? Huh. Could Christians infiltrate school boards? Could Christians infiltrate Congress?
Imagine that, Coach.
Imagine that. Instead, we like to sit around and say, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so we turn it totally and completely into a spiritual battle. And Jesus saying, dummy, look at the devil. Look at that serpent. See how he's operating? See how he's winning ground? He's winning ground in a place where he's already defeated. He is still ruling or having the appearance of ruling and reigning. Why? Because we haven't told him he's defeated. We haven't told him, get out of here. We haven't, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Jesus said to us, go ye therefore. And do what? Teach all them to observe all I've commanded you. Are we doing that? No, they're throwing us out and letting the devil come in. So Jesus said, look how the devil got in control. That's how you get in control. You see what he did? He infiltrated, right? You understand that, right?
Coach.
Yes.
He pretended to be a Christian. Should we go pretend to be devil so we could get elected?
Well, you know what? That'll get me in a whole nother one. It'll get me a lot of emails that I don't want to answer. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Coach, can I read
Christian belief is the Christian belief is just let, just
no, hang on, let Jeff speak and then Craig. Go, Jeff.
The Christian's belief is now is just let Donald Trump be the mean, big, mean, bad bully. We're going to be the dove.
Well, we're going to be harmless as a dove. That's what Christians are supposed to be. We're supposed to be harmless as doves. Folks, that's only half of it, man. That is a lie. Hey, that's a non-essential doctrine. Jesus loves everybody. There's another one. Platitudes. We have been taught lies. And not only have we been taught lies, we've believed lies. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, you'll know this when I read it. 1 Corinthians 2:6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So God usurped Satan, kill Christ to cover our atonements of sins. So what you're saying is true. He used the tactics of Satan against himself.
But because it said, it went over my head, Craig, because I wasn't reading it along with you, right? But what you were saying was, I just lost my thought, and it was profound. Satan didn't know what was going on, did he? Jesus, God fooled him. God fooled him. Is that honest to fool? Isn't God supposed to be truthful and honest?
God, he was the tactician. That's what the Lord was. He was the tactician.
So the Lord used his own belief system against him, didn't he?
Amen.
Hey, Craig, what scripture were you reading? I want to pull that up again.
It's in 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians.
Chapter 2, verse 6.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, Mike. We can start right there. Because what you said, this comes back to my education. Some of us are visual learners. Some of us have to read it to understand, okay? That's me. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So anything special about me, I just came and told you the truth. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, we've been through it together, boys. In my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom and no smoke in the sanctuary and no music playing in the background. My speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And how be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Wow, Craig. For had they known that, they wouldn't have did what they did. They screwed up.
Hey, Coach, think of it this way. Think of your wife, Michelle, and you're taking her to one of these classes where she learns how to defend herself. And the person says, okay, you got this 250-pound guy and you got, you know, your wife. And what he teaches her, he says, use that person's energy against them in defending yourself. Turn their strength back on.
Wow.
And that's where we need to fight and understand where we're at.
But we can't if we don't understand his devices, right? And if we are not standing on essential truths, not non-essentials. Not non-essentials. Hey, Mike, go real quick. I got to show this. This has always bugged me, so I want to show you this, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 13 for the love verse.
Coach, here's another platitude that Craig and I know that we were told. You got to think like a crook, catch a crook.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right. So we got to think like the devil to catch the devil, don't we? Huh? Excuse me. I want to share this because this always bothers me. Charismaniacs, charismatics, speaking in tongues, not speaking in tongues, is speaking of tongues of the devil, and cessation movement, the tongues ceased. And they use this one. So, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, Paul's clearly saying Well, no, he's not saying. I think he's saying, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, I don't have faith, love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, charity, it doesn't profit me anything. Because charity, love suffers long, and it's kind, and it's charity doesn't envy. Charity doesn't puff itself up, doesn't make, you know, doesn't need all the attention. Charity doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Charity doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. We should too, by the way. Charity, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Charity never fails. Love never fails. Now watch. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But I'm going to stay right there in verse 8. Prophecies fail, yet churches love prophecy conferences. They love knowledge, but it says here knowledge is going to vanish away. But yet we still seek knowledge, and with all you're getting, get knowledge. When you get knowledge, you get wisdom. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Why is that the only one of those things that it talks about there that they say isn't around anymore? Somebody explain that to me.
Well, it fits our doctrine.
Well,
that's why.
Well, yeah, tongues have ceased because my pastor said it did. They taught him that at seminary. You mean that guy over there who's speaking in tongues? He's not a Christian. Is that what you're saying? No. He's just deceived. Well, how do you know he's deceived and you're not? Who taught you tongues ceased? Who taught you that? Well, my pastor. Well, where did he learn that? Did he ever speak in tongues? No, he never spoke in tongues. No, he didn't. That's why he knows that they ceased. You get what I'm saying, folks? I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth, because it's only the truth that's going to make us free. And we have such a division even on this issue. It's so divisive, I'm not even going to get into it and talk about it. But I'm going to tell you this. Has knowledge vanished away? You know what? You know what? My dad's knowledge has vanished away. He's dead. I'm going to tell you something else. My dad's tongue has ceased. He's dead. Yeah. And you know what? My dad's prophecies are gone. They failed. He's dead. You get this, folks? There's something. Oh, my God. If we could just live a doctrine, theology-free Christianity, I can't even imagine the power that would be unleashed. Okay, who have I made mad? Come on in.
No, I agree with you 100%, Coach. That's what the thing is, what people do, they have a doctrine, and then they read the Bible to find out how they could plug it in and make it fit their doctrine instead of read it for what it says.
Well, I can promise you this, Gary. Anybody who's ever spoken in tongues knows it's real. And the ones who don't think it's real are those who haven't done it. Mike, go to Romans, what I have? Romans 13, Mike. Romans 13 real quick. Because I like to point out the hypocrisy in our, not in our essential doctrines, but in our doctrinal beliefs. Okay? I want to point one out to you here. Romans 13. We got to obey the government, yada, 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 yada. And everybody says, obey the government. And then look at this. What? Hey, ho, ho, ho! Stop, Mike. What about number 8? Owe no man anything. Yet we take out mortgages on our churches. See, we obey ungodly government because the Bible says we do, we're supposed to. And then the Bible says don't owe anybody anything. We go out and get a bunch of debt. Do you see how, what's the word?
But Dave, we've come up with a plan to how to properly pay it back.
Well, let's come up with a plan to properly take over the Christian government. Let's come up with a plan to do that.
No more inversion.
So, you know, the danger is pulling text and making a doctrine out of a specific verse. It's dangerous. And that's what we've done.
making a truth become the truth is so dangerous.
That's like that old verse. I can do all things through scripture taken out of context. Second Opinions 3:15.
That's right, man. Second Opinions 3:15. Oh, I'm winding down.
Hey, Coach, you'll understand that because you were a teacher. The best teacher doesn't tell you what to think. He teaches you to think.
Wait a minute, Craig. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? Guides us into all truth? He guides it to us. Why? Because the truth that I come to on my own is far more powerful than the truth you tried to teach me.
Amen.
They're not the same. Can I tell you what's good? Can I tell you what's happening? We have millions and millions of young Christians, they're called millennials, who were trained in Christian values. Oh, Lord, I'll say it. Christian platitudes. And when they got out in the real world, those platitudes carried no power.
Right. They were playing at church all this time.
They were acting like Christians.
Coach, think about all the denominations people go to every Sunday. You never, ever see a devil manifest, ever. Think about it. You never see devils cast out. I mean, there's something about the Holy Ghost praying in tongues and speaking in tongues, because I'm going to tell you, I've been in a lot of services where devils manifest and they get casted out. It don't happen at most Baptist churches. Amen or amen.
Well, go ahead. I almost said something, got me in trouble. Go ahead, Silver.
Thank you, sir. You were talking about the various churches. Even within the Catholic Church, there is division.
Yes.
The Eastern Church and the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? The church is the thing that has been basically today formed by man.
Mm-hmm.
And not by Jesus.
Teaching as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Those are non-essential doctrines. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Folks, hold you down with rules and regulations, hey, that ain't liberty, baby. That ain't liberty. And can I tell you the truth? The church preaches liberty, but doesn't live liberty.
Hey, Coach.
That was a mic drop. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was walking across the parking lot, and the pastor's son, he's a college-educated one.
Oh, good.
And I turned around and asked him, you ever seen a demon manifest? No, I haven't.
There aren't any. There aren't any demons. Probably not out there in Fallon, Missouri, in Nebraska. Probably aren't any demons out there. Probably aren't.
Coach,
go ahead.
I got a question. When we started to come over here to the United States, could that be so when they gave each state, like South Carolina, they gave it as Baptist? And all these different states, like the Presbyterian and the Catholics had different states.
Well, that's the 13 original colonies were all founded by denomination, Joseph. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. That's right. Separated. Hey, Mike, real quickly, pull up 10,050 commandments. Because we've been taught there's just 10. I love doing this show. Say, Coach, you're a troublemaker. I love being a troublemaker.
I love being in this show, Coach.
So here are the 1,050 New Testament commands. Do you guys know that? We just heard about the 10 commandments, and we don't even follow them. There's 7 abstains, idols, fornication, strange meats, eating blood, meats offered to idols, all appearances of evil, fleshly lusts. There's 7 things to avoid. These are commandments, by the way. Troublemakers, profane and vain babblings, false science. Ooh, yeah. Unlearned questions. Really? Foolish questions. Yeah. Genealogy. Yeah. Arguments about the law. Yep. There's 3 asks. Ask and you shall receive. Ask no return of goods. Ask life for backsliders. Two things to awaken from. Awaken to righteousness. Awaken to life. 74 B's. Be exceedingly glad. Be reconciled. Be perfect. Be merciful. Be faithful. Be like faithful servants. Be thankful. Be at peace. Be patient. Be no partaker. Be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Be in behavior. Be discreet. Be ready. Be of good cheer. Be baptized. Be converted. Be a bunch of bees, right? 70 some bees. Those are commandments too. I'm going to start a church on these. The church of the bees. Then there's the be nots. Be not like the hypocrites. Be not like the heathen. Be not as hypocrites. Be not called rabbi. Be not called master. Be not afraid of men. Be not doubtful mind. Be. Then there's 14 bewares. We got some bewares out there. Huh? What? Yeah. Beware of false prophets. Beware of people. Beware of 11. Beware of hypocrisy. Beware of covetousness. And then four things to believe. Believe the gospel. Believe God's existence. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe God rewards diligent seekers. One thing not to bless. Believe not every spirit. This is so good. I got to run. Folks, God, open our eyes, Lord, that we might see and understand the men of Issachar. Understand the times we live and know what it is we need to do. God bless you. Catch you tomorrow.